this is Pastor Stolz, and welcome to our worship. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and hath for his sake forgiven all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to God, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father, almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of things to come and the day of thy just judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness, to living here and dwell with thee forever. Forever after, we pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The readings, the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. For I know the thoughts that you think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found in I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations of the earth, whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive so far. The Epistle, James, chapter 1, verses 22 to 27. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he shall behold himself, and goeth his own way, and straightway findeth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the mirror, the perfect law of God, the law of liberty, and continues therein, he shall not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not your tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Pure religion and understanding before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So far, the Gospel, John 16, verses 23 to 30. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time will come when I shall see you no more, and unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I will say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world, and again I leave the world, and I go back to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and thou speakest no proverbs. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that you have come from God. So far. My sermon this morning is really based upon the gospel lesson that I just read. And the theme is prayer problems. I think at one time or another, all of us have prayer problems. The solution to our spiritual problems must ultimately be found in the grace of Christ. But this is not to say that every problem will be solved simply by saying, go to the foot of the cross. You see, we cannot say that once this is done. This will be no more a problem. One of the problems that we have is that we are reluctant to accept the cross. We would much rather impose our will on God. And so often our praying is not a search for the will of God, but it is an attempt to bring God into line with our thinking and will. And we assume that there cannot be much blessing in a cross. We ask for its removal. We do not see the necessity of a cross for ourselves. And we tend to forget the necessity of the cross of Christ. This was the case with the disciples. When Jesus told them how he was going to suffer, and how they were also going to suffer, and they couldn't understand it. Well, Jesus was aware of this, even though he had told them in various circles, in very clear terms, that he must suffer and he must die. They saw the cross as a conflict, a conclusion, if you will, to the resign of the Messiah. How could Christ say that such a such a thing would turn into joy, this great sorrow? Well, Jesus assured them that when the day of crucifixion would be over, and the resurrection would be an accomplished fact, there would be no more questions. They would understand that it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to die, and to rise again in order for the whole world to have a Savior in whom there is redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. But because they couldn't comprehend God's plan of salvation, their wishing was really out of harmony with the will of God. So their prayers would actually be contrary to their own best interest. And because they were not ready for Christ's cross, they were not ready to die with him, or even be by his side when that crucial hour had come. Later, with the Spirit's enlightenment, they saw that Christ's death was necessary, as well as the crosses that they were to complete in their life. And I believe that it must be said that we too at times show our unwillingness to bear a cross that arises in our lives. Perhaps we think more about our temporal wants and less for our eternal good. We need to remember that God's greatest blessing involved pain, agony, self-sacrifice, and even rejection. This rejection ended up in Christ's cry of being forsaken by God, which showed us the damnation of sin, which Christ bore in our place. It tells us that our substitute, paying the price of our guilt, must himself be separated from God. It tells us that since the atonement has been made, we never have to be separated from God. It reveals the Father's infinite love for sinful mankind, who offered himself as the reconciliator of God and man. It tells us that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that the gift of eternal life is ours. However, It does not tell us that we shall have a heaven here on earth, as Christ himself had to confront sin, so must we. St. Paul writes, "We suffer with him that we may also glorify together." Therefore, we can rightly speak of the blessings of hardship. Another problem is that we might tend to think of the Father as being angry with us. And granted, we have no goodness which he would make us worthy of that. But we have Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, and thank God we do. Christ tells us, his disciples, that he has become our mediator before God. Prayer in Jesus' name, well, it was a new concept for God's people. How could these people of God pray in the name of Jesus, who had not even yet been born? He had now become man's substitute. This was something new. Jesus had to now become the mediator. By virtue of his life, death, and resurrection, man could approach God. From now on, he said, in effect, "You pray in my name." We approach God by his authority and by faith in his merits. Another problem that perhaps people have is that Jesus says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, the Father will give it to you." Does this mean that we can ask for anything and expect God to give it to us? Well, first of all, the words "in my name" limits the promise to believers. Believers who recognize the necessity of a cross. As a minister of God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Coming in his name, I am not authorized to demand, to promise, or to teach anything which is not in keeping with the authority that he has given me. That obviously places the limit upon me. So only that which Christ authorizes you to ask in your prayers can rightly be presented in his name. However, within the authority, the authorization of Christ, this promise is unlimited, unconditional. No matter how often plainly Christ spoke to his disciples, there was still a limited understanding until Pentecost. Yet, Christ did not abandon them, nor does he abandon us for our mistakes, often in prayer, and our failure to understand his grace. I hope we have learned a little more about prayer. May God forgive us for our failure. For our failure in our faulty prayers, and know that his blood has cleansed us from all sin. And may the Holy Spirit increase in us appreciation of the grace of God. Amen. At this time, confession and absolution. I now ask you before God who searches your heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God and deserve his wrath and punishment, then declare so by saying, I do confess. Do you heartily repent of all of your sins, committed in thought, word, and deed? Then declare so by saying, I do repent. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. Do you promise it with the aid of the Holy Ghost? You will henceforth amend your sinful life. Then declare so by saying, I do promise. And finally, do you believe that through me, a called and ordained servant of God, you will receive the forgiveness of all your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word, as becometh, it may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edification of your holy people, and that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of your name abide to the very end. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.